They say that the Simcha Zissel of Kelim used to hang on the door of the Beis Medrash of Kelim at the beginning of the month of Elul, a notice. And the notice said that one of the hallmarks of the preparation for Rosh Hashanah that should be occupying one's efforts during Elul is to become as much a part of the community as you can. And that's for two basic reasons. One is that it is very favorable for a person, vis-a-vis his judgment, to be a person that other people depend on. Because if we are judged only on our own merits, then nobody has that much merit. But if God has to take in consideration how it's going to affect other people who depend on you, who need you, who you benefit, then you have their merit too. Because nothing bad can happen to you if it's going to affect adversely somebody who doesn't deserve it. So that's one reason why it's good in preparation for Rosh Hashanah to become someone very involved with other people, so other people depend on you and your judgment will be judged in light of how it affects other people. There's another idea though, and that is the very essence of Rosh Hashanah, the motif of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios. Malchios means recognizing God's kingdom. Recognizing God's kingdom means that there's a kingdom, that you're not the only one, that there is a functioning society, world society, that really owe their allegiance to God, and you are part of that world society and have a part to play within it. And therefore, the more a person occupies himself with things that will make him part of the community, the more he prepares to accept God's kingdom, because he understands that he's part of that kingdom, and he prepares himself to function as part of the greater kingdom. Now, in that light, I want to speak about this week's Sedra in light of this concept of being part of the community. Moshe Rabbeinu's main intention in Sefer Devarim, in his farewell shir to Klal Yisrael, which took from Rosh Chodesh Shvat till Zayin Adar, over a month and a week, long shir. And his main intention was to explain the mitzvahs that he had not yet told them, or to give extra explanation to ones that he didn't give the extra explanation yet that they'd need when they came into Eretz Yisrael. However, before he did that, he first gave them Musar and Tochacha and recounted the history from the Exodus from Egypt and all the trials and travails they went through as a preface. And then he spoke about Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvahs that apply to Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvahs that apply in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in my estimation, part of the reason for that was, and I think Rav Shamshon Feuerherz says something to this effect, that in order to fulfill the mitzvahs properly, completely, perfectly, we have to do it as a klal, as a community, as a tzibur. Because no one person can fulfill all the mitzvahs himself. Taryag mitzvahs were given to the Jewish people as one conglomerate. Ke'ish echad b'lev echad. And there are mitzvahs that apply only to men, mitzvahs apply only to women, mitzvahs apply to Kohanim, to Levim, only to Yisraelim. So unless you're a man, woman, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, wrapped into one, you don't have all the Torah. And even though today that may be possible, under normal circumstances it was not. So how do we have a mitzvah, a Torah that's complete? Only when we are one, united, conglomerate. And that way, that united conglomerate has all the mitzvahs. And we're all part of that. That's one idea. Secondly, unless there is a functioning society, the Torah can't exist. Right? The Torah can't exist in anarchy. So when there's a functioning society between man and man, then there can be the mitzvahs between man and God. So a lot of the fulfillment and observance of the Torah depends very much so on a functioning society and unity amongst all Jews. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he got into the mitzvahs themselves, spoke about the place that unites all Jews, Eretz Yisrael. This is the geographic area where all Jews are supposed to be together, united. And the place, specifically, in Eretz Yisrael, that unites all Jews, actually, is the Beis HaMikdash. We all ascend there 3 times a year to unite as one. We daven facing there from all parts of the world, tail talpios. So it is the place that unites all Jews. And Eretz Yisrael is the place where all Jews are physically united. Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad, who is like the Jewish people, one nation, Ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael. Now after Moshe Rabbeinu, that was last week's Sedra, Re'eh, where he spoke about the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael and conquering and settling Eretz Yisrael and the things that have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and the Shalosh Regalim, the 3 Yom Tovim when we ascend to the Beis HaMikdash. And again, this is a preface to the more general mitzvahs that Moshe was going to be given, but because before you can really fulfill all the mitzvahs, you need that unity. So the first thing, unity is dependent on place and on the Beis HaMikdash, which unifies the Jewish people. And then, in this week's Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the next preface. Before you can exercise that unity, even if you have the right place, right, everybody is geographically together in Eretz Yisrael, and they have the Beis HaMikdash to unify and give them common purpose, but you need leadership. You need leaders to be able to unite the community. And there are variety of different kinds of leaders that in this week's Sedra the Torah speaks about one after the other. The first is judges, the Sanhedrin, the judges of the lesser courts. Without judges to both ascertain what the laws are and to judge that there should be justice amongst people, and also shotrim, policemen, to enforce the laws, then there's anarchy, and there surely is no unity and no functioning community. So the first leader you need is, the first authority is the Sanhedrin, the shoftim. That's how the Sedra starts. Then the Sedra speaks about the melech, the king. Then it speaks about the Kohanim, another kind of leader, spiritual leader. And then it speaks about the Nevi'im, prophets. So right away in the beginning of the Sedra, we have the 4 forms of authority, which are the next stage in assuring that there'll be a functioning society and there'll be unity amongst the Jewish people. You need authority figures to create that unity. And since we are, what is the goal? What is the goal of the unity of the Jewish people? What are we supposed to achieve? What are we supposed to create? So the Torah tells us, we are supposed to be a mamleches kohanim, the goy kadosh. We are supposed to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now in those 4 attributes, mamleches, a kingdom, kohanim of priests, goy, a nation, kadosh, holy nation. So here is hinted to all of these functionaries, all of these leaders. How so? We are mamleches. We have to be a kingdom. We need a king. So that hints to the king. Kohanim, we are a kingdom of priests. We're not just a nationalistic kingdom. We are a religious kingdom, so we need religious leaders. We need the Kohanim. And then we're a goy. A goy needs to be a functioning society with laws, with justice, with social justice. So that's the justice system, the shoftim, the judges. And kadosh, we have to be holy people. Holy means that you are totally negated, subjugated, totally dovek, cleaving to God. For that you need a Navi. That's what the prophet's purpose is. The prophet is the one who is totally connected to God, and he's the one who teaches us how to take every part of our being and how to adapt every occurrence, past, future, present, to be part of God's plan. And he's the one who reveals to us what God's plan is, so we can fit into it. So those are the four kinds of leaders in order to create a Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. Mamleches needs a Melech, Kohanim needs a Kohen, Goy needs a Shofet, Kadosh needs a Navi. And then we have the quintessence of Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. Similarly, before we come to Rosh Hashanah, and like we said, the essence, the motif of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, is God's kingdom. And we are part of that kingdom, and we have to be able to prepare to create that kingdom from our standpoint that we can be part of it. Okay? So it seems that the same order follows. It starts with Tisha B'Av, Bein HaMetzarim, where we don't have Eretz Yisrael in its perfection. We're in Golos, right? Many Jews don't live here. And even those who live here are still in Golos. It's not Eretz Yisrael the way it's supposed to be. And we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But we first have to focus on what we're missing to realize that we need those unifying factors. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu prefaced his discussion of the Torah and the mitzvahs with a discussion of Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash, because those are the unifying places. So we start Tisha B'Av with that. Then comes Elul. Elul, we need to go and graduate to the next stage. Speak about and be involved in the authority figures that help to unify the Jewish people, where it's not just authority from the outside, but each person has to be his own personal judge and his own personal king and his own personal prophet and his own personal Kohen. Because we all have those qualities within us. So it's not only to function and to realize we need to bow to the authority of these various leaders, but we have to create within ourselves leaders that lead us ourselves in a very small, not looking at the macrocosm, but looking at the microcosm. So that's why we start with the idea of Malchios. On Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have three aspects: Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. If you think about them, they represent these four leaders. Malchios is the kingdom. The kingdom is unified by a physical king and a spiritual king, who's the Kohen. Right? Mamleches Kohanim. We're a kingdom of priests. So we have the physical kingdom, the nationalistic kingdom, and the religious kingdom. And they go together. Very much so go together. And I'll show you how much they go together, insofar that there is always a partnership between the king and the Kohen. How so? Let's see. Who built the Beis HaMikdash, which is pretty much the domain of the Kohanim? The Mishkan was built by Bezalel, who came from which tribe? Yehuda, which is the kings. Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. He was the quintessent king, and it was the place of the Kohanim. Okay? Who was the one who consecrated the altar on which the Kohanim make korbanos? Nachshon ben Aminadav, from the tribe of Yehuda. He was the first one. That's, again, the tribe of the kings. So the kings are very much involved in paving the way for the Kohanim. And Mashiach will have a Eliyahu Navi, who is Pinchas, according to some, is a Kohen, and Melech HaMashiach is a Melech. So the Melech and the Kohen always, came together. And what else do we find that we find that thing? Right, that I told you. In this week's Seder, there's also an interesting thing. This, my Rosh Hashiva, Boris Sorotskin Zatzal, pointed out. In the end of the Sedra, we have the different functionary leaders speaking to the people before they got into battle. So the Shoter, who is the more political, the army officer, right, he speaks to the people about who are afraid because they have Averis. He speaks more about the religious aspect. And the Kohen speaks about the people who are afraid to do battle physically, who maybe have gotten married and haven't consummated the marriage and so on. It's interesting that it's the religious leader who speaks about the battle tactics, and it's the physical leader who speaks about the religious items. Because there's always a shiluv, there's always an interconnection between the two. Okay, in any case, so therefore we need these things. Now, so Malchios on Rosh Hashanah is hints to these two leaders. You need a king and a Kohen to create a Malchus, Mamleches Kohen. Then we have Zichronos. Zichronos is remembrances. It's basically the idea of judgment. What's right, what's wrong, how have I... it's judgment, and you need a judge. Those are the judges. That's God as a judge, and we need to judge ourselves. And that's more for the past. The Malchus is the present. The judgment is on the past. How did I function? How am I going to function vis-a-vis how I function in the past? I need policemen also within me to police myself and make sure that I toe the line, that I don't make the same mistakes again. So you need the shoftim to define what's right and what's wrong, to put you into the light of doing right and wrong, and to police and enforce that you continue doing right and wrong, and right and not wrong. So that's Zichronos. And then there's Shofros. The shofar is one of the things of the shofar. Psad Yigon says it reminds us of the voice of the prophet who calls out like a shofar. Pasuk says, Harimi k'shofar kolet. And the purpose of the prophets was to reveal God to the Jewish people. It's an ongoing revelation of godliness. God speaking to us through the prophet. Shofros, the whole idea of Shofros is revelation. When God revealed himself to us, and he does it through the prophets. So here we have a hint through the three essences of Rosh Hashanah. Malchios represents Kohanim and Malachim. Zichronos represents judges. And Shofros represents the Navi. Those four functionaries that are mentioned in the beginning of this week's Sedra. In addition, we can connect these four leaders to the following. There are four crowns that a person can be worthy of gaining. There's Keser Torah, the crown of Torah. That has to do with the judges, because they're the ones who teach Torah, and they're the ones who make the parameters of what is Torah. The Sanhedrin lets us know what the laws are, and they enforce the Torah. So that's Keser Torah, that's the crown of Torah. Then there is the Keser Malchus, the crown of royalty. That's the king. And then there's Keser Kahuna, that's the crown of priesthood, of the Kohanim. What's left? Keser Shem Tov, the crown of a good name. That's the Navi. The Navi comes to reveal a person's personal part in God's kingdom. What's your part? That a Navi can tell you. What are your strengths and weaknesses, and how do you fit into God's plan? That's your name. Your name is your essence. The Navi reveals your essence vis-a-vis you, vis-a-vis God's plan for you. So that's Keser Shem Tov, is the hint to the Navi. Hold on 1 second. Let me finish right down the question. Okay, now let's discuss in a little bit more detail each of these functions. And again, they're not just external functions, but each person has to be a king to himself and a prophet to himself and a Kohen to himself and a, what's it called, a Navi to himself. Okay, now let's see what they are. The function of a shofate is to create the misgeret, the framework of Torah, halacha, Sanhedrin, to relieve any doubts when things come up in what the halacha is, whatever, and to set who's guilty and who's innocent when it comes to transgressions of halacha, and to create a just society, justice, and a functioning society in the idea of justice. And along with the shofate goes the shoter to enforce all of these things and make sure that people who go against these parameters and don't keep within this framework are punished, and people who deserve are rewarded. So that is the shofate, the judge. And a person, therefore, in Elul, has to prepare himself to be part of God's kingdom by accepting upon himself the authority of judges, meaning those people who paskin shilas, rabbanim. Today we'll see that we don't have many of these functionaries, but the Torah and the Torah leaders take their place. We'll speak about that in the end. But a person has to therefore has to accept upon himself, part of the preparation for Rosh Hashanah is renewing your commitment to accept the authority of Torah leaders and people who paskin shilas and halacha and the authority of halacha, and to be not only a judge over yourself, to review your past and come to the conclusion of where you were wrong, where you were right, where you're guilty, where you're innocent, and to be a policeman to make sure that it doesn't happen again, to make those kinds of takanos and kabbalos, those kinds of commitments that these things won't happen again, to make the kinds of commitments that you accept upon yourself, not to put yourself in the situation where you could come to do things that are outside the framework of halacha. And that is what's it called, prepares us for Zichronos. God is going to do all these things to us. When we do it to ourselves, we make that judgment come out a lot better. When we judge ourselves, when there's judgment down here, when we accept the authority of judges, and when we judge ourselves, then God's judgment is much more tempered and much more soft. Next functionary, the king. The king has basically three functions. One is to unite all the Jewish people physically, make a kingdom, a functioning kingdom, right, a society, and that more or less is between man and man. He is the unifying factor. In that respect, he's called the heart of the Jewish people. Just like the heart unifies the entire body, the king unifies the Jewish people. Secondly, and that's why the king is prohibited from having too much money. That his heart shouldn't be raised up from the people. And if you're not the fulcrum, if you're not the focal point, if you're separated from the people, you can't unite them. And that's why it describes Shaul HaMelech as from his shoulders up, he was higher than the people. Was he a giraffe? I mean, until his shoulders up, he was normal, and then he got a big neck? What does it mean? What it means is the following. You can be raised above other people in two ways. You can be standing amongst them, just higher than them, or you can be where your feet starts, where their head ends. The second way, you're separated from the people. The first way, you're amongst them, it's just to give them something to look up to. So then you're the unifying factor. But if you're totally separated from them, you can't unify them. So that's the first thing. The king can't be such a balgaiva, so haughty, so rich, in a way that separates his heart from the Jewish people instead of making it the unifying factor of the Jewish people. Secondly, the king's purpose is to advise. The word melech means to take advice. Lehi malech. Right? Ein malachim ele etzos. And to provide physical nurturing and spiritual nurturing to the people with advice, how they can best fulfill their purpose in his kingdom, the physical purpose within the kingdom. In that respect, lo yarba lo nashim, he can't have too many wives, which will destroy his ability to take advice and give advice. He's going to be torn from all sides by all these women. That's what it says, lo yosser levavo. His heart shouldn't be pulled away. He has to have a heart that can give advice, so his heart can't be torn in 20 different directions. How much is too many wives? More than 18. So 18 women can still be one unity. Okay. And lastly, the king is the protector. He battles and protects his kingdom. Okay? Both from the inside and the outside. For that, he's not allowed to have too many horses and bring the people back to Egypt where their security is going to be, threatened. Right. So, the king has those three functions. Unifier, advisor and sustainer, and protector. Now, we said that there's a spiritual king and a physical and a material king. The spiritual kings are the Kohanim. They have the same function. What's the function of the Kohen? He unites everybody in Ruchnius. How so? There's a one Kohen Gadol who goes into the Holy of Holies representing the entire Jewish people once a year and unites the entire Jewish people at that moment. Also, the Kohen Gadol wears all the names of the Jewish people on his breastplate and on his shoulders. The remembrance of all the Jewish people united comes through the Kohen. So that is the Kohen being the unifier spiritually, just like the king is the unifier materially. Then there is the Kohen who gives advice and sustains the Jewish people spiritually. How so? He brings sacrifices. The sacrifices are like the sustenance, the spiritual sustenance of all the worlds. It sustains the Jewish people. In addition, the Kohen is the one who teaches Torah. So he's the one who gives this advice. And he also gives Musar and Tochacha. He's the one you come when you have the sicknesses of the Nega, Tzaras. And the Kohen's the one who's involved in giving you the Musar and Tochacha to get you to do tshuva to be healed. And lastly, the Kohen is like the king, a protector. By making sacrifices, the sacrifices atone for our sins and protect us from punishment. So he's a protector also. So all the functions that a physical, material king has are patterned after the functions of the Kohen on a spiritual level. So that's, each person has to be his own Kohen too, and perform these functions also. Unite himself with one unified purpose, spiritually, and give sustenance to all of his spiritual abilities, capabilities, talents, right? Like bringing sacrifices through davening and through Torah learning, and to protect himself by doing tshuva and other things that are kapara, that are atonement, just like the Kohen would do. Then there's a Navi. The Navi is more for the future. He's the one who tells you what the future, what God's ultimate plan is and how you fit into it. And that's like shofar, as we said. Shofar is whenever God revealed himself, there was a revelation at Matan Torah. Throughout history, the shofar was blown. And it's the future. It also represents the giving, the resurrection of the dead, and the shofar will be blown when the Mashiach comes, and when Jews are brought into Eretz Israel, when Mashiach comes. So the Navi's purpose is to reveal both the inner workings of the person, the inner workings of God's kingdom, and be mitaim, and to make a connection, relate them one to the other, and to tell you how you fit into God's plan and what it is, present and future. And that represents shofros and keser shem tov. So in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, we need to prepare all of these functions, both in the time when we have them to commit ourselves to their authority, And today we don't have most of these functionaries, but we have one thing that's left, the Torah. And Torah leaders take over these functions. How so? The Sanhedrin, the Shoftim, are the Torah leaders who paskin shailas and who sit on a beis din. Okay, even though they're not a Sanhedrin, but they take the place of the Sanhedrin. The Melech, it says, Man Malki Rabbanan. Who are kings? The rabbis. Because Kehilos, the king, is there to make a functioning material society. What are material societies today? All of our Kehilos, our communities, Jewish communities. Who is the fulcrum, the unifying factor of a Jewish community? The rabbi, the Rav. So he takes the place of the Melech in his small kingdom, his small community. The Kohen is Shevet Levi. The Rambam says that all those people who dedicate themselves totally to Torah are Shevet Levi. They are the Kohanim of our time. They're the ones who teach Torah. So it's the Rabbanim who teach Torah. Rosh Hashivas, Rabbanim, Rebbeim, whatever, right? Kolol people, they're the Shevet Levi. They have taken the place of the Kohanim temporarily. And it says, Chochem Adif Minavi. A sage is even greater than a prophet. So the sages also have their kind of prophecy. So therefore, part of preparing for Rosh Hashanah is to accept the authority of Torah leaders in all these respects, as the Navi, as the Melech, as the Kohen, as the Shofet, and even more so, to find within ourselves the kinds of leaders that we need to be over ourselves that have all of these aspects. The judge within us, the king within us, the Kohen within us, and the Navi within us. And that is the way to prepare for Malchios, to prepare for the kingdom. It's not just to be part of the community, but being part of the community necessitates being accepting of the authority of the leaders from without, and to create leadership from within, that you yourself will be able to follow what you guide yourself, and not follow your baser passions and desires.